Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening to The Quality Hub, chatting with ISO experts. I'm your host, Xavier Francis, and I'm here with Joe Hill, Manager of Audit Services here at Core Business Solutions. So glad you could be here with us again, Joe.
Thank you so much, Xavier. Glad I could be here.
Today's show is entitled, Yeah, It Would Be Great If You Could Get Us Those Reports, where we will discuss how to conduct effective management review. We'll look at leadership, stakeholders, corrective actions, and other aspects of management review. If you've listened to the Quality Hub before, you may be familiar with Joe, but in case you haven't, let's just learn a little bit more about him. Can you tell us more about your quality journey here, Joe?
Sure. Well, I've been in quality probably about 20 years now. Started out working for a certification body, one of the ones that actually issues the certificates. I was the quality manager there, worked about 12 years in that industry. Always had a vision on the other side of the fence on the consulting world. So opportunity arose and I joined CORE on the consulting side of the industry. Been with CORE about 6 years now. I work with ISO 9001, ISO 14001, ISO 45001, and I'm also involved in the aerospace standards, AS 9100 and 9120. And right now, pretty much doing primarily the auditing.
Awesome. That's great. Well, I know you and I started almost at the same time. You were a little bit before me. So I remember meeting you first time when you were in the office, and it's just been great ever since.
Indeed.
So to get us started today, what is the real purpose of management review in assisting the leadership team?
Well, personally, I've always considered management review to be one of the most critical and important elements of the management system. It's really the opportunity for the management team or the management rep or the process owners to report on the performance of their processes and the overall system, provide data which may support acquiring additional resources, etc. And then for top management, it's that opportunity to really review if their investment in the management system appears to be aligned with and appropriately supporting their strategic direction of the organization and the overall business goals.
So you're sort of getting a picture of the entire business from a quality management standpoint and any needs you might have in different sections of the business that are from the process owners of those things?
Exactly.
That's good to know. So that's leadership. How do you ensure that the management review process involves all the relative stakeholders?
Management review, it's all about top management. So the standard requires that top management review the organization's management system. So the primary participants would really depend on who you define as the top management in your organization. Generally speaking, it would be anyone who falls under that C-suite, you know, the CEO, the COO, the CFO, etc. But the standard also dictates what information needs to be reviewed, which we will cover here in a little bit. So that will also help define who would be the appropriate people to participate and present that information. So in summary, the meeting is typically facilitated by the person with the overall responsibility for the management system, attended by top management, and others may need to be included to discuss particular issues where more detail is required.
Should all the relative stakeholders be present for a meeting?
You know, there've been some questions related to whether all of those relevant stakeholders need to be present. And generally speaking, it's a best practice and my personal recommendation. But you may be surprised to hear that a formal meeting is technically not a requirement.
That's interesting. So they don't say to have a management review meeting. They say have management review.
Exactly. And the word meeting does not appear in the standard under the management review clause. I'm not really sure that that's a rabbit hole we really want to dive into today.
Right.
But the standard only requires that top management review the management system, and it provides the information that is required to be part of that review. However, the standard also requires that there be a record of these reviews. So when you read it all and put it all together, a formal meeting with documented minutes is really the best way to address those requirements.
So we're not saying it has to be a meeting, but it should be a meeting.
Exactly.
We're not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens. Yeah, right. You know. I mean, I guess there are other ways you could review it if you had to. Probably getting everybody in one room or on one Zoom meeting or a combination of the two,
right,
is the best way to do it because you're all going to be there and present and being able to have real time back and forth.
Right. And in that perfect world, all relevant stakeholders would be available for a meeting. But if there are people who cannot be present, you just want to make sure that you're able to share the minutes and any of the information that was presented with them, get their feedback and their input to include in the minutes.
In talking with Brian Smith, when we talked about the first part of what a management review is, your outputs from a meeting are going to be your inputs at your next one. So anybody who has to do something is going to have to answer to that.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the required outputs or inputs to the meeting is any actions that may be identified. And of course, those actions should have a responsible person assigned to them. So, of course, those people would need to be involved, making sure that they're closing out their actions, et cetera. Yeah, there's a lot that goes into the management review.
So to put it in a nutshell, people need to either be present or have some information from the management review that they can review, look at, take any actions that they need to before the next meeting that you have. What documentation and records should you be reviewing during the management review?
So again, the standard identifies what those inputs are that are required to be considered as part of the management review. And it includes six primary topics. First is a review of any actions that were identified at the previous management review.
So that would be the outputs of that meeting are going to come into the inputs of this one.
Exactly. So there's just a running list of actions usually, but there should be a list of those identified actions. It's generally captured in the minutes somewhere.
Right.
We also need to review your identified context issues for any changes. Now, this is going to relate back to Clause 4.1 in the standard that requires organizations to determine internal and external issues that are relevant to their organization and that affect its ability to achieve the intended results of the management system. So whatever method you have used to identify those relevant context issues should be brought to the meeting and reviewed for continued adequacy as well.
Okay. So basically it's saying you need to make sure you're looking at what you said you were going to look at.
Exactly. Just make sure nothing's changed, continued adequacy and accuracy and suitability. That's really what that's about.
Okay. So when you get back to some of those stakeholders, some of the things you might be reviewing from them might be, do you have enough resources, machinery, equipment, humans?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Indeed. Yeah, exactly. And it is one of the required outputs that the standard has from the meeting is the adequacy of resources. So it should be discussed as one of the inputs as well. Machinery, equipment, software, human resources. Do we have enough resources in place right now? We also need to review your current risks and opportunities and the effectiveness of any actions taken to address those risks. Now, this generally takes the form of some type of FMEA, which is a failure modes and effects analysis, or a SWOT analysis, which stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Or it can simply be a spreadsheet that identifies those relevant risks and associated action plans.
So you're looking at, again, from a high level, hey, we discovered some of these weaknesses in our systems. We've got a new player that's doing exactly what we do. How are we going to manage these threats, these concerns, these needs in a formal way?
Exactly.
Okay.
Because the standard does require under Clause 6.1 for organizations to identify risks and opportunities. Now, it's a little tricky because technically, if you read the annex of the ISO standard, it does not require a formal approach to risk management.
Okay.
But it's a little odd because without some form of documentation, it can be a little difficult to prove conformance to those requirements. So we are looking that the organization has identified risks and that at management review, they're reviewing those risks and any of those actions. Now, the big item is a review of information related to the overall performance and effectiveness of the management system.
That is big.
Yeah. And there's several little bullets in the standard that kind of help define what we're looking for here. So it includes trends in customer and any other interested party feedback, the extent to which your objectives have been met, the overall product or service quality, the status of any nonconformances and corrective actions, the results of any recent audits since the last management review, and the performance of external providers.
So just a couple minor things there.
Just
nothing,
a couple
nothing major
things.
To look at from
Not
your business standpoint. No, that's
Not
quite a bit. I mean... And clearly, we've talked about before, this is why you document and measure things, so
exactly.
You can have the data to make the decisions on how to approach this stuff. And that's the point of this management review.
That is the entire point. It's presenting information to top management so that they can make better decisions for for the organization, for the management system moving forward. Yes, there are several pieces of information that may need to be presented for this, you know, charts and graphs to demonstrate performance against your objectives, a summary of recent customer feedback, a log of nonconformances and corrective actions and their status, a summary report of the results from recent audits, etc. So right. Yeah, there's lots of pieces of information that need to be brought.
Right, and you're going to be able to see trends in that information.
And that is very important to note that the standard does require a review of trends. So you want to be able to present that data in a manner that can really demonstrate historical performance versus current performance. And it's that trending data that really should be most important in determining the overall effectiveness of the management system.
So you can see if, let's say you've been in this a couple of years, you've done 4 or 5 management reviews, you have data from the first meeting moving forward. How have our trends done? Have we gotten better at customer feedback? Have we had, you know, gone from a 3.5 to a 4? And I know our core software that a lot of our customers use lets you look at some of that stuff when it comes specifically to customer data or supplier data.
Exactly. The standards makes it very important that, hey, if you're implementing actions and making changes to the management system, it should be based on data. So you should be wanting things to get better. But if you're really not looking at things in a trending way, then you really don't know.
Right.
So you need to look at the trends.
So with that, how do you identify opportunities for improvement and corrective actions during the management review? So you're looking at this data. How do you identify those things that are opportunities?
Yeah, the inputs that the standard has built in that are required to be part of management review, they're really built to try and spur that discussion, you know, around key areas of a successful management system. And so those discussions themselves should generate potential areas for improvement, which can then be documented as formal action items. I mean, really, the ultimate key is to keep these meetings and the information presented interesting for the intended audience. Again, it's for top management.
Right. So you don't want just them to start glazing over.
Exactly. So the data, you always want to try to keep it focused and concise and presented in a manner to which top management can relate. And if you can communicate these inputs in a way that really demonstrates how they have an impact on the bottom line, of course, top management will generally be more engaged in that discussion and offer more suggestions for improvement.
So you don't just want to come to them with a list of needs.
No, exactly.
if you're somebody who's going to present at this, at one of these, you know, like, hey, I need this, this, and this. Okay, why? Or you don't want to bore them with data to the point of like, their eyes are glazing over. You have to be pretty short and concise, not too elaborate.
Exactly. And as we said earlier on in the discussion, you know, this is really the opportunity for the quality manager and the process owners, you know, if they're struggling in a certain area, you know, this is their opportunity to present that data, you know, to top management, to, again, try to get those discussions for additional resources or changes that can really benefit the management system itself.
So conducting that effective management review is sort of an art form?
Oh, my goodness, yes. It really is, but once you find that magical way to present it so that top management truly sees the value, it can really be that cornerstone process for the most successful management systems out there.
We have talked so much about the importance of top-down in these podcasts. And this is a time where some of your process owners really need to get the information to management so they can make accurate decisions on how to move forward and basically how to drive your business better.
Right. And when you look at the standard, there's essentially 3 outputs that are required from the meeting. Those are identification of opportunities for improvement, any need for changes to the management system, and any resource needs. So again, it's really that opportunity to see, do we have what we need in place for this management system to succeed?
Now that's great. You certainly have a wealth of knowledge and experience here, Joe, in this. Do you happen to have any story or an example of working with a company who's really nailed this management review?
Well, nailing management review, you know, from the auditing standpoint, when I'm auditing an organization and I'm looking at management review and their minutes, I like to see nicely detailed minutes. Sometimes you'll be auditing an organization and they'll have these lists of questions in their management review. And in the minutes, they'll simply have one word answers like yes or no. And it's like, what does this tell me? It doesn't tell me anything. So what's it telling you? You know, how is this really helping you? one of my favorite stories about management review. I was working with a one-person organization. So basically the owner, operator, did everything, one-person shop. So of course, management review, the standard doesn't care that you're only one person. You still need to talk about all these things and document minutes. So I remember I was auditing.
I bet that could have been an interesting management review.
Oh, it was so funny because he had such a great way of documenting the minutes, like process ownership. He would say, oh, production manager needs to, oh, wait, that's me. And he would actually document that in the minutes.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Human resources needs to hire, oh, wait, that's me as well. So he just had a very comical way of documenting the minutes, but he did provide value to himself. He did take it seriously, but it was just funny. He was a one-person shop and had to document these minutes, so he was just talking to himself.
Did it work in your audit? You said that he provided the stuff that the information he needed, so.
Oh, it did. He had tremendous data. He was reporting on his objectives and the performance of his suppliers. It was just a comical way that he was documenting the minutes being a one-person shop. It was
so funny. If one guy can do it, many hands can do it. That's great.
Exactly.
Well, I want to thank you again for being here and sharing your experiences and all of your expertise and all the ways management review can help your quality management system and essentially help your business.
Well, thank you so much, Xavier. It's been really a pleasure to be here with you today and talk about management review. Again, if done correctly, it's one of the most critical and important pieces of a management system.
It sure, certainly is. We can certainly tell that. And we want to thank everyone who's listened to our podcast today. We hope it's been informative for you, and maybe you've taken a little bit of information away from here that you can use in your own management reviews. If you haven't already followed us on your favorite podcast platform, be sure to do so you won't miss the next Quality Hub podcast when it's released next week. Thanks so much, and have a great day.